time for Type 40, your Doctor Who podcast from the Festive Fandom Podcast Network. It's the show where we take an in-depth and close look at this beloved television series, the spin-offs, and even the merchandise. Doctor Who's a global fandom phenomenon that has shaped the landscape of science fiction and fantasy for well over five decades. So step into our TARDIS, check out our tree, and share our Christmas together here on Type 40. We've been waiting for you. Yeah, the Type 40's here again for more geeky TARDIS talk. Perhaps a couple of gripes, but always plenty of cheer. We thought we'd get together as Series 12's getting ever closer. My friends and I wouldn't be the same without you. First things first, I'm Dan Hadley, Type 40's designated driver, Birmingham's King of the Elves, and a lifelong Doctor Who fan. You could be too, but maybe not if you're quite new or newer to the Hooniverse. That's cool too. Everybody's welcome. There's no gatekeeping here. Only conversation, fun, games, and tidings of comfort and joy. There we are. Oh, he's laying on this a bit thick, isn't he? Okay, Hadley, who have you got with you today? Well, there's a couple of other elves here, and I think they've already been at the Baileys by the look of them, I should warn you. First of all, there's Sheffield's starriest and Type 40's roving reporter, it seems. The return of our Sarah Graham. Hiya, Sarah, how are you?
Hello, Dan. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. You're looking very festive.
Yeah, I've got Selena's coming to the act as well, as you can see.
Oh, wow. Is she, God, she's looking Christmassy too.
Yeah, she's got a Christmas colour. It's every time we go into video, she appears. She's just got to be part of it. She's all right, diva.
Has she gone Hollywood?
She's gone Hollywood, yeah.
And it wouldn't be a party without our next voice. Of course, he's been with us for some months now. You love him, we love him. Welcome back to our TV industry insider and wisest of men, Simon Horton. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hello, Dan. Hello, how are you doing? Yeah. I've got a little helper with me today. This is Bonzo. He's already as well. It feels like the end of a school term, Mr. Stan, today. It's in party mode, aren't we? Let's
Everybody's brought their toys in, haven't they? Cats, dogs, Dalek. I've got Rosie, the red Dalek, over my shoulder.
Good old Rosie. Rosie's all ready for Christmas, is she?
I think she's as ready as she'll ever be. She's even redder than usual. Show she could have been at the Sherry as well. Look, well, before we start enjoying ourselves too much, all of us, all six of us, seven of us, we've got to hit some of those fixed points we always have to observe as part of the Fandom Podcast Network. Each and every edition of our show, past, present and future, is easily found on the FPNet master feed at fpnet.podbean.com and FPNet on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network's also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher and Google Play. And we're delighted to announce we're joining iHeartRadio very, very soon. That's the popular podcast and streaming radio platform. We've got further details of that to follow, but search for us, bookmark us, and we'll let you know more as soon as we know more. That's going to be how that works. There's our social media presence. Yep. Your man's obsessed.
You're all Christmased out, Dan.
I am. Instagram and Twitter, Type 40 Doctor Who, plus there's real-time talk and shares daily with our wonderful companions in the ever-lively Type 40 Facebook group. We've just hit the 1,000 members over there, I'm delighted to say.
Woo-hoo!
I know, I couldn't believe it. It's really, really crept up, and I was hoping we might get there by the end of the year, but yeah, it's happened even before Christmas. But there's lots of posts and exclusives you don't see anywhere else in any of the other groups, because some of them, you know, naming no names, a lot of them are much of a muchness, really. Yeah, but Type 40, yeah, there's all sorts of opinions are there, but there's always something new that you don't get in any other Facebook group. And as always, there's links to all of that in our show notes. Sarah, you've nested on Twitter lately, haven't you? So remind us of that link. Where can people tweet at you?
You can find me at Starry Eyed Girl. Very simple.
It's the easiest of them all. Yeah. And Simon, where's the best place that people can reach both you and your canine companion?
Yeah, best place they can find me. They can either send me a letter to the North Pole, where I'll be helping Santa up till Christmas Eve. And then after that, they can find me on Facebook under Doctor Who, the original Hoonatics. Yeah. Go and find me on Facebook there and say Merry Christmas.
There you go. And you can come and find me talking about all things inside and outside of the TARDIS too, in movies, TV, comics, books, you name it, on Instagram and Twitter as The Spacebook, and in the Spacebook Facebook group, along with all my other friends. The friendliest bunch of geeks you're going to find on social media. I'm still confident of making that claim. So come and find us and come and have a chat. I'm eating a Satsuma. Sarah's wearing a fabulous Christmas hat with flashing lights on, which has managed to outdo both Simon and myself in our traditional Christmas garb. Yes. Here we've come in standard Christmas hats. But yeah, it's a Christmas tradition, though, isn't it? You've got to put something silly on your head, meet with your family and friends, tell a couple of awful jokes, mind you, I do that all year round anyway, and play a couple of Christmassy games, he says with a certain amount of mischief in his voice. Because if you listen to this, I'm holding my box.
Dun, dun.
It's for the people who can't see this, it's the Doctor Who trivia quiz. As I keep reminding people, this is a box full of carefully curated questions from Marks and Spencers, no less, under licence to the BBC, with a Cyberman on the front. A proper Cyberman as well. Not those robotic soldiers that you got under Russell T. Davis and Stephen Moffat. These are the proper ones that say excellent a lot.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's a bit of a Christmas tradition, isn't it, when there's nothing on the telly, apart from films you've already seen, and no Doctor Who Christmas special. Imagine that. I know.
Sorry.
Somebody in the family always has the bright idea to break out a board game or whatever else, to both cheers and groans from those assembled. And yeah, it's your turn this time. Who wants to go first? I'm going to shuffle my
cards. I think Sarah should go first.
Sarah.
Thanks.
Okay. Da, da, da. And out comes the card. I have to remember that both the answers and the questions are on the same side of this. Here you go, Sarah. Here's your question. Which character does Jenna Louise Coleman play?
Clara Oswald.
There we go.
That's a bit more difficult. At which version?
Which, well, I was just thinking Oswald, that depends when they her. Depends when they put the game out, doesn't it? Which version of her we were getting at that time. That was a little easier than I thought it was going to be. But some of them, it's the luck of the draw with these, isn't it? Isn't it, Simon, as we've come to find out when we've been making videos in the past?
Yes.
This one's for you, Simon. And it's... it says, oh, in 2010's A Christmas Carol, the Doctor...
Not a chance.
The Doctor finds himself engaged. That was the Matt Smith Doctor. The Doctor finds himself engaged, but to who? Which famous historical personage? The countdown music needs to come in there, doesn't it?
I'm tempted to say Santa Claus, but let's not. What year was this? 2010?
This is in 2010. It was A Christmas Carol.
Okay, well, Queen Victoria... Victoria?
Oh, no. It's you're nearly there. It was Marilyn Monroe.
What? Okay. Fair enough.
Best to gloss over that one. They never revisited that. It was a comment that
Moffat put in. I don't think it really happened.
No, it's just like, because there was Queen Elizabeth I, wasn't there? So he has gone blue blood before, but... Yeah, Marilyn, sure. Who'd have thought it?
Would you like a Doctor Who Christmas joke? Well, a joke. It's not Christmas, eh?
Go on. I haven't had a good joke in ages. Go on. You can make it Christmassy.
It's really bad. Okay, you ready?
All the best Christmas jokes are bad.
Yes. All right, then. Two silents walk into a bar, and I forgot the rest of the joke now.
Listen, you can't make me laugh too much because I will cough, because I'm just getting over the typical Christmas cold. So you can't make me laugh.
I'm eating a Satsuma as we record, not only because it's Christmas, but it's very, very good for my throat.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's what I need. So I need some vitamin C. Yeah. I've got my Lemsip. Other cold cures are available, but I've got my hot Lemsip. But I will keep coughing and sneezing and blowing my nose, so I apologise to you all.
Simon's brought out the big guns for us today to be fit and well. So you've got your trivia book there, Simon. What are you going to hit us with?
I have got my trivia quiz book. So I'm guessing it's time for a question to you, Dan.
Yes, go on then.
Yeah.
Are you ready for it?
After my last triumph, go on.
Right. In Paradise Towers,
yep.
What word beginning with the letter W is given to graffiti?
Oh, this is the 1987 classic Paradise Towers by Stephen White, of course, which is
that's the one.
Right up there with the very best of Doctor Who. That would be the Wall Scrawlers, wouldn't it?
Very good.
Wow, very good.
Round of applause. Wall Scrawlers is well
thank
done.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed. I wouldn't have known that. I've
every line of these stories. Like the last time we did this, I got one from 1986, and pretty much, if you pick a story from between 1983 and 1989, I know almost every line of those scripts, so I'm going to be able to get them.
Okay, so that's an interesting challenge you've thrown down there. Oh. I'm going to start to have a think about that one.
There we are. Challenge accepted. There we are. Mm-hmm. Have you got one? Okay. Have you got one for Sarah, Simon?
Would you like one, Sarah?
An easy one.
Here we go then. Here we
an
go,
easy
then.
Right, one with on. Your knowledge.
Right. Okay. Here we go. In which I'm just flicking through the book and landing at the first one I see. In which story did K-9 debut?
The Invisible Enemy.
Yay! Woo! So basically, I'm the only one to get anything wrong so far.
Oh, where can we start? Well, moving on. Moving on. A little while ago, Sarah, you were in a few weeks ago, weren't you? Mm-hmm. And you've been off on your travels for a while, and you dropped out a name. It wasn't Marilyn Monroe. It was somebody even better. It was the Father Christmas, really, of Doctor Who, Russell T. Davies. You met Russell T. Davies,
didn't you? I did.
Yeah. And we want to know how this came about. Where were you? What did he say? All that sort of thing. So tell us this story. Where did you go to meet Russell T. Davies?
Okay, so it was in Cardiff at the Welsh College of Drama, and he was doing a talk with the Royal Television Society, I think it was.
Okay, is this a tour he's been on, giving several talks?
No, this was specifically just for this one because he has a lot to do with it.
I was a sponsor.
And he was presented with an award by them for his contribution to Welsh television because, basically he put Wales on the map in terms of Doctor Who, but also the production side of it, everybody working on Doctor Who at that time. It was all set in Wales, all the cast and, well, not the cast, but the crew side.
Recruited Disney locally.
He did so much for that side, the economy and, the whole business. And he's been doing a lot of support with the writing side as well. So it was presented by Gethin Jones, which you'll know as ties to Doctor Who as well.
We saw some photographs from this event, and I saw there was two people there. I thought it was Gethin Jones, but there was somebody else there as well, wasn't there?
There was the woman that's the head of the society. I'm blanking on her name. I can't remember. That's really bad.
I remember Dan and I. Yeah, you and I had a sort of conversation online about who is the woman. I think we both recognised Gethin, but neither of us could recognise the woman. And now that maybe that makes a lot of
sense.
We were assuming she.
So she was.
She was maybe a TV celebrity again, but by the sounds of it, she was the head of the Royal Television Society. Is that
So she came on.
Gethin Jones is connected to Doctor Who as well, isn't he? Because at the time of 2010, he was dating Catherine Jenkins, who was in 2010's A Christmas Carol.
He was, and he also it was on Blue Peter at the time, so there's obviously that.
Yeah.
And he also appeared as a Cyberman. But there was a big joke about it at the time. Okay. You know when they came back in Rise of the Cybermen?
Yeah.
He was one of the Cybermen. And
that's right. I think they did a piece about it on Blue Peter, as I recall, didn't they? They showed him all getting into costume and that.
But the big joke is that he couldn't see what he was doing. So that scene where, I don't know if it's Mickey or Ricky, and he's running down that street at dark, and there's about six of them following him. Well, there's one, apparently, there's one that's not walking quite the right way, and that's Gethin Jones.
And that's him.
I did wonder about that, because there was constantly Blue Peter, when during the Russell T. Davies era, they did multiple features on it. And I know that the guy, it's Matt Baker, isn't it, who's on the One Show now. I know he'd been there for series one, so that does make sense. So they sat down on the stage, and you got a good hour, 2 hours with Russell T. Davies talking about his career.
I talked about his beginnings, being born in Swansea, and he's so proud of Wales and his heritage, and that really came through, and his love of reading, obviously his love of Doctor Who. I mean, we covered Queer as Folk and right up to years and years, so it's pretty you know, basically everything in between that he'd been involved in, we talked about, and there was a lot of Doctor Who. We talked about the Sarah Jane adventures and how Liz had kind of kept her illness to herself up until like the last possible moment. Talked about Torchwood. And it was
some of those things must have been very difficult for him to talk about, you know, because Liz Sladen was a personal friend of his.
Yeah. He did find it difficult. And when she died, he basically said, like, he'd got a camera shoved in his face because nobody was saying anything, and somebody wanted a reaction from, you know, somebody. And it was down to him, and he kind of, you know, did this statement. But he said it was only like after he realised, like, oh my God, Liz is gone. And it was after, you know, where it hit him. So, yeah, there were lots of emotional moments like that. But it was very, very candid about it. It was a really good discussion.
So the whole legacy of his time on Doctor Who and that whole thing that he managed to put together, that three-pronged thing with Doctor Who, Torchwood and the Sarah Jane adventures. People now, like 10 years on, it's seen as being this golden period, isn't it? And the very first sort of fictional TV, fictional universe. Well, not the first. You could say Dallas and Knott's Landing or something like that. But the first proper one, the first one that really, really matters.
In the pride, you know, it really comes through. And, you know, obviously, you know, he deserves to be proud of it. But, it really was. I know it seems like it was spearheaded by him, but everybody came together. And he said the reason why he did the spin-offs, it was to keep the crew intact, because obviously they came together for 9 months to do Doctor Who, and then they'd go away again and go on, you know, when they realised it was this runaway hit, they had to get everybody back in for another 9 months. It was a way of keeping, you know, the crew together, you know, like permanent employment, so that most people were involved on all three, and that situation worked really well. And he said, you know, the people grew over the years, you know, they'd start off like being a runner and then they'd work their way up. Now there's people editing for TV and they've gone right the way up. So like there's an entire like work community that's all built up from this era of the show.
And these are people who stay in touch with him, people he probably works with, some of them, and continues to either collaborate with them or employ them, or maybe even they employ him, or people who get in touch and stay in touch and become personal friends and things.
Couple in the audience, I mean, he's filming another drama at the moment, and one of the stars was in the audience. So it was really lovely, and he's... Oh, he's such a lovely man. I mean, not that I'm biased, but he really is. and afterwards, I didn't realise he was going to stay behind. And one of the first things he said when he came on stage was, "Oh, you Doctor Who people, I'm going to stay behind. So if you've got anything you want me to sign, I'm there."
So he knew people were waiting in the wings then.
Yeah, and he was really, and he just went, and there was no ceremony. He just went and sat down in the cafe area, and... it must have been there for, God, 2 hours. And he was just happy and delighted. And he had there was no rushing. It wasn't like at a convention or anything. He really took his time, and it was just, it was wonderful.
How many people were there, roughly?
A couple hundred. It was quite a small...
Oh, wow.
In fact, it might have been less.
I literally bumped into Russell T. Davies a couple of months back, actually, in Forbidden Planet in London. Where else?
Yeah.
And sort of bumped into him. He said, "Oh, hello, Simon. How lovely to see you." No, he didn't. So we literally just passed. But my goodness, he's a tall bloke. You don't realise. He's enormous. He's up there somewhere. I'm like this big compared with Russell T. Davies. He's a big bloke. But I agree with Sarah. All respect to him. Without Russell T. Davies, the show probably wouldn't be on telly now. So you know, whether you like him, whether you like his era of the show or not, as I say, respect to him. He reinvented it successfully. It worked. Mm-hmm. And so we're all still here.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, you queued up and waited with everybody else for a bit of time with Russell T. Davies. And I suppose gradually as it got closer and closer and closer, you must have been thinking about what you were going to ask him, what you were going to say to him.
Yeah.
When you got to the front of the queue and you got in front of him, how did that play out? What happened? Who spoke first?
Me. Yeah, I did fangirl because I've been dying to meet him for so long because it
was, I would fangirl, yeah.
Well, it was that reboot that got me, you know, hooked into the fandom. So So I had a lot to say, and I said, "Can I give you a hug?" And he let me. It was so lovely, and it was really funny because he was asking like people where they were from, because obviously I haven't got a Welsh accent. Because most of the people there were from the area.
Were they really?
Yeah, so he was asking me where I was from. And then I told him, and he was quite shocked by it. He was like, "You haven't come all that way just to see me, have you?" And I was like, "Yeah."
So he was quite flattered then, quite humbled by that. And you had a lovely picture taken with him as well, didn't you?
I had a lovely picture, yeah. And he signed my ticket, and Chris was there as well. I kind of dragged him along, and... he shook his hand as well, and I was buzzing, as you know, because as soon as I came out, I rang you.
You did. I mean, you were literally, you know, it was like the phone was just coursing with energy, and you just said how lovely he was, and this is what everybody says, how genial he is, how generous, how down to earth and friendly, and how humble he is about his work, which is extraordinary, even more so considering the occasion. It wasn't a promotional tour, even for a production. It was all about him. Yeah. And yet he's still very, very grounded as a man.
Definitely.
I mean, I've been watching...
I've often wondered with... I've often wondered with Russell T. Davies what he... Like I've just said, he's very much responsible, obviously, for bringing back Doctor Who to the 21st century. Mm. And I've often wondered what he thinks of the show since he left, because he obviously left it in a very, very healthy condition.
Oh, yes.
Then it's debatable, and it's completely open to debate as to what your thoughts are as to whether it did decline after the RTD years. It ran into certain amounts of controversy with Stephen Moffat, where complaints were levelled, that it was too complicated, too self-indulgent, etc. Mm. Now we're into a whole new era of disgruntlement from certain people in the Chris Chibnall era. And in a way, it's become more divisive is the wrong word, because that suggests it's putting people against each other. And I don't mean that, but it's more
contentious.
It's more selective about you either. Oh. It's a bit more Marmite now.
Yeah.
Doctor Who's more Marmite now. You either love it or you loathe it. Mm. I think more so than you did during the Russell T. Davies era. I think that was probably the golden era of the modern series, in that that was when it was loved by just about the entire country, I think. Mm. And so I've often wondered, when he sits there and watches it now, does he kind of, is there a degree of bitterness within his soul that he thinks, you know, how could you mess up the show that I reinvented for family audiences? And as I say, that's not me levelling criticism. No. That's up to anybody to think about whether I'm right or wrong with the observation I'm making. But I just wonder whether Russell himself sat at home and thought, how could it have gone wrong after I left in such a good state?
It'll be a long time until we know about that. Well, way or the other, I suppose.
It's really interesting because it was never brought up.
No, I'm not surprised.
Because obviously we were there to talk about him. Stephen was mentioned because obviously he's friends with him, and he is friends with Chris. I don't know if he's as close to Chris as he was with Stephen, I'm not sure, but they are in touch. And Chris did get mentioned in relation to Torchwood and that writing decisions. Like, you know, the scene where Captain Jack is alleged to be the face of Bo.
Well,
that came into his head and it made him laugh. And he read it out to Chris and said, "What do you think?" And Chris laughed, and he thought, well, you know, it's making, you know, somebody else laugh, not just me, so I'm going to put it in. But other than that, Chibnall wasn't mentioned at all, which was probably very wise.
I think looking back, you read everything that Russell was saying, not just when he took the job, but even before, the potential that he saw in Doctor Who to be able to unite a nation as a viewing experience, and then to deliver at it. It was all about bringing people together, in celebrating, stimulating, exciting, and guaranteeing that people would be back there the next week and anticipate it every single time. The way that he thought and the way he reached the viewers. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I dare say, the story will be told, and we may end up with a sort of round table with the three of them. Who knows? He's quite close with Stephen Moffat. You can see they're very close friends through following them on Instagram and things like that. And that's always lovely to see the banter between them. Who knows? One day we might get the truth of that. Hold on a minute. I can hear. I've got something at the door. I can hear outside, and there's this big white glow. Could be the White Guardian. I have been expecting him. He does tend to pop around this time of year, so I'll just go and check that out. We're back with you in a moment. Oh, hello, Kyle. What are you doing all over here? Merry Christmas.
Freaking vortex manipulator. It's too cold here. I moved from Alaska to Florida for a reason. What have you done to me, Hadley?
Well, you should have called ahead. I'd have let you know, and you could have come another day. You could have come last Thursday.
You don't even, like, have any hot toddies for me here or anything. Man, I was going to give you back the vortex manipulator for Christmas. I'm kind of rethinking this whole thing.
I have got your Christmas card, so I see you've got mine. Yeah. Here we go. Here's mine. There we go. Well, that's really good. That's worked out just fine. Well, I've just been chatting to Simon and Sarah about all things Christmas and Doctor Who, and about the second trailer.
Oh, wait. Come on. You were talking to Simon and Sarah about leaving Chris Chibnall a weeping angel on his doorstep for Christmas. We know this.
The thought had never crossed my mind, but that is ever so slightly genius, isn't it? Whilst I've got you, Kyle, what's your warmest Doctor Who memory?
Oh, it is the first Matt Smith Christmas special. That first Matt Smith Christmas episode is still one of my favorites, kind of pulling in the old Christmas Carol story. It feels like Christmas, the beautiful music in that episode. Everything about it was it was one of my all-time favorite Doctor Who Christmases. I'm also a fan of The Snowman, which, of course, brought us our first look at Clara.
That's a real favorite of mine. And it's funny you should mention A Christmas Carol, because Simon's just got a question wrong about that in our trivia quiz.
Wait a minute. Yeah. All you English people in England should know The Christmas Carol like the back of your hand, I thought it was required as a beast for citizenship.
It is, but Charles Dickens never put Marilyn Monroe in his, did he? That's where Simon.
Well, that's
out.
Marilyn. See, that's I mean, come on. She's going to make you have wrong answers. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Any further, I need to wish a belated birthday to the lovely Karen Gillan. She just had her birthday a few days ago.
She did. I saw some fantastic pictures on Instagram. She does take a very good picture, doesn't she? Very, very beautiful. Very, very funny woman. I follow her Instagram feed a lot. She does lots of creative things, doesn't she? It's a bit of a
yeah,
bit of joy. I think she's very, very much.
Yeah,
a geek,
and very
isn't
she? Much. She has a new movie coming out here in the States on Friday. The new Jumanji movie is hitting theaters here in the U.S. So, I gotta get me some Ruby Roundhouse. Come on now.
Good stuff. Well, listen. Have you caught the new Doctor
Who? I have. I'm not sure what to make of it. I'm trying really hard to go into this new season. I don't want to say going in a super positive attitude, but just trying to keep an open mind. Clean slate. Let's see if they have a chance to improve it. I've heard a lot of good things. You know, obviously they're bringing back the Cybermen. I've heard we're even going to possibly have a two-part episode. Some returning faces that I'm excited about. Maybe that the BBC's kind of stepped in and kind of asked Chibnall to kind of go with a more traditional Moffat type Who and something a little bit more matching the modern Russell T. Davies, things like that. But I just don't know what my biggest hope is going into the season more than anything. Is that Jodie is able to make the Doctor more hers this season. You know, I really did feel like even with Capaldi, it took him a year. He really didn't hit his Doctor Who stride until his final season.
That's probably true, yeah. And I think we'd all, no matter how we feel about the current regime and cast of Doctor Who, I think we all want her to find her way with this character and with this part and make it all come alive for all of us. Nobody wants to be not looking forward to a new season of Doctor Who. I think we're all in the back of our heads. I think we're all rooting for her in our heads and our hearts, really, for something, for the magic to finally happen. A bit of we can't have any Christmas magic this year, but we can have some New Year.
Yeah, we can definitely have some holiday magic. I really think. I mean, I think if this is the last hurrah for Chibnall, and we don't know, he's saying it's not, that the rumors aren't true, that he's leaving after this season. We'll see about halfway through this season, but. I don't fault Chris Chibnall for not wanting to do something at Christmas. However, I think his reasoning for it that he's put out there, the fact that it's too hard to come up with a Christmas story, there's plenty of stories that just because it's a Christmas episode doesn't mean it has to revolve around Christmas.
Short-sighted, I think, is the polite.
But
The polite diamonds.
But I also, you know, I give him credit. At least he's doing New Year's episodes. Obviously, the new season starts shortly after that because you can already pre-order the new season of Doctor Who on iTunes here in the US.
Oh, can you? Well, that's good news. I know that's Kevin's preferred way of doing it, isn't he? He gets a lot of his stuff on iTunes. Yes, I'm sure listeners would be keen to hear that because you can sort of get it allocated in advance, can't you? And it sort of builds up and things. You can pay for it. You can just pay for that season, can't you? You don't have to buy any.
Correct. You just get that season and they give you all the extras with it and everything like that. But I do want to hit on the trailer. I think it's very timely, the fact that we're going to get this James Bond spoof just as the trailer for No Time to Die has hit.
Yeah, I'd say they might have planned that if it wasn't for the fact that the Bond release date has moved around so much, they couldn't possibly have, because it was originally supposed to have been out by now, wasn't it? And then they moved it to February, and now it's April to wait.
Yeah, but you know, and I Stephen Fry is in this episode, if I remember correctly, from what I saw in the trailer. So that makes me a little bit excited. But I'm kind of in prove it to me mode. Even after this, I think even more so after this trailer. There's some things I'm very excited about for this new season. I really think that you're going to see it feel a little bit more like the Doctor we've come to fall in love with this current run of Doctor Who, a little bit more energy, a little bit faster pace to the episodes, which I know was one of the big things I really didn't care for last season, was the pacing of the episodes was very slow at times.
No, and if there's one thing that you can't do slow, it's a Bond spoof. You cannot. it's got to be pretty fast. It's got to be fairly in your face a great deal of the time. We're going to find out on New Year's Day, and you're going to come back and talk to us about.
Oh, absolutely.
You're going to be back. Carl Wagner, back on the team, back on the squad. Have you got any message for the listeners before before you depart? I can see you've got the meter running on the old.
Oh, well, you know. First of all, Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a great holiday season. For a lot of us, it was a very mixed bag last season for Doctor Who. But try your best to go in with not a clean slate, an attitude of, you know what, let's see if they can get it right this year. Let's see if they can, I don't want to say get right, but find their groove. Find a balance.
That's it. I like that.
Get into that Doctor Who feeling. You know, I had criticisms last season, but I would try to withhold a lot of it because, you know what, it's big shoes to fill. And especially when you're talking both a new showrunner and a new doctor, and you know, you got to give, not everybody can be Russell T. Davies and really kind of have a fresh slate to work with going in with the doctor. And then even in Stephen Moffat, who kind of was able to, who had worked previously with Russell T. Davies and kind of slide in and just add to it. In this case, Chibnall, let's not forget, I'm going to say this about Chris Chibnall. He kind of under directive from the BBC to make some changes to Doctor Who. It can't all be.
They wanted it freshened up. Yeah. And you know, it's a change.
So this is a combination of everybody. This isn't just Chris Chibnall. It isn't Jodie Whittaker. It's a combination of all these factors. Let's see if they've got it right, because nothing is better than when the Doctor is good and when Doctor Who is putting out good quality episodes. I'm looking forward to seeing the return of classic villains. I'm looking forward to some two-part episodes. It looks like I've even heard rumors, Dan, of a possible season-long storyline this year.
There are whispers of that, yeah.
You know what? Hopefully Santa will bring us a good present. New Year's baby will bring us a new present for 2020, and then we'll get Doctor Who started off on the right note and hopefully have a great season of Doctor Who. And whether at the end of the season we have more change or not, we're just hopefully moving in a direction that can make all the fans truly excited.
Let's hope so. Happy New Year for all of us. Well, yeah, thanks for dropping by, Carl. That was really good of you. I'll let do you want a glass of sherry while you're here? You
can take this. I take the Vortex Manipulator. I have a date with a certain doctor. I don't mean who, let's just say a song could be involved.
Yeah, I thought I could smell some aftershave. You've been at the old spice, haven't you? Yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy yourself. Be lucky, and I'll speak to you soon, mate. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Night night. Bye-bye. Yeah, sorry about that. It's like they know when you're recording, isn't it? I have to say, it has happened before. But where we are with all our travels in time and space, that's what we're talking about, wasn't it? Your travels recently, Sarah. And yours too, Simon, because you were recently invited over to the East Midlands, weren't you, by our friend Gary Finney-Zaire, for another special occasion. And you bumped into a couple of dodgy characters there, didn't you? It has to be said. But where is the quad It sounds a little bit like a space station, doesn't it? But where is the quad, and what was this occasion in particular?
Yeah, what it was the Hoover's 20th anniversary meeting, and the Hoovers, to fill you in a bit of detail, the Hoovers are the Derby group, the Derby Doctor Who group, and they've been going for 20 years. And so they were celebrating their big anniversary at the Quad, which is it's an art centre theatre venue in the middle of Derby. And it's a fantastic venue, and it's where they hold Hooverville, the Derby convention every year, which I've been to a few of those.
It's a big convention, isn't it, that? Yeah.
It's a brilliant event run by the Derby Hoovers. And so it was great to go along on Friday a week or so ago, and Sarah and I met for the first time, didn't we, Sarah? We've met many times online like this, but it was great to actually meet in person. We both went along. We were, as you say, invited by Gary Finney there, who is one of our most loyal people here on the podcast, and he invited us both along, didn't he, Sarah?
He did. He was very kind of him.
So when you got to Derby, you got to the Quad. It's quite a new building as well, isn't it, from what I've seen?
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to think what year it's. Yeah, it's probably 10, 20 years old, something like that. It's a really nice venue, and it was particularly festive because when we arrived, they got fantastic Christmas lights outside in the area outside the Quad. So it was really nice to get there on a cold winter's evening, and they made us very, very welcome.
How many people were there, do you think? How many people were waiting?
What would you say, Sarah? Was there about 25, 30, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. It was quite a small gathering.
So did you spot each other fairly quickly then?
Oh, we spotted each other pretty much straight away. I'm afraid I missed Sarah to begin with. She spotted me and grabbed me. But it was really nice to meet her, because, as I say, we've met so many times on here, and so it was great to meet her. But that's one of the things about those Derby events, is they're just very, very friendly and convivial. They don't take it seriously. Well, they do, but you know what I'm saying. They have a laugh with it. And so they're just really very friendly, inclusive events. And so it was just lovely to go along to. As I said, there's probably, I know they'd invited and hoped to get about sort of 50 people there, but as always with these things, people say they're going to turn up and not make it.
I know the type. Yeah, sorry, Gary, I was invited.
You were invited. We missed you.
I was invited. I couldn't quite make it with the. It was the travelling, really, because I got problems with my own car. Couldn't quite make the time in work. But yeah, I do appreciate being invited, and I will be there next year. I've been invited for another couple of events. In fact, we all have. There'll be more on that on Type 40 next year, don't worry. This event in particular, of course, it was a celebration, 20 years of the Hoovers. And the Hoovers is kind of one of the, I hope they don't mind me saying this, because I know they put a lot of effort into this and there's a lot of new blood involved, but it's one of the last men standing, isn't it, from the old local group network that Simon, you and I, that's how we met, wasn't it, in the late 80s?
Absolutely. I mean, interestingly, the Hoovers, as they are now, as we've just said, have been going for 20 years, but in fact they had a previous incarnation that was called Hootopia, and they were a Derby local group back in the day that they were linked with the Hoonatics, which was the fan group I was running at the time, so they were linked. And so I would very often go along to meetings in Derby of Hootopia that was run at the time by Michael Dennis and various other people. And so they've had the Derby group have probably had one of the longest associations with Doctor Who fandom going. They probably are one, if not the, arguably the longest running fan group, local group still out there, which is just brilliant and good on them. And so why wouldn't you celebrate?
It's a hell of an achievement, isn't it, in 2019? You know, I know there's still quite an active Star Trek local group community, but there's nowhere near the numbers that they used to have been. They're still quite organised. But with Doctor Who, it really has all but disappeared, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Those local groups now are very, very few and far between, and I really, really mourn their passing. And I know that we've said at some point, you know, we'll get together and we'll do a podcast about those sort of heady days. That bless you, Sarah, you were saying on Friday night when I met you that you missed all that because you grew up in the wilderness years.
I did, yeah.
Better word. And I was just saying what a shame it was that you missed that, because those heady days of the local groups, when there were just local groups in literally every local area, no matter where you were not going to be more than probably 45 minutes, an hour at most, away from a monthly meeting that you could go to. And that was brilliant. It was just such a shame that you missed all of that because of when you grew up, which is another reason why it was great for you to go along on Friday, and at least you got some sort of feeling of how it used to be back in the day.
It was wonderful, and it said there was no gatekeeping. They welcomed new members. I was very welcome. I mean, I know Gary anyway, but it was just a really lovely atmosphere. So I got to soak all that up. And, and the members, they are so dedicated and, they use all the free time, all the effort they put in. Gary's wife had done a lot. I mean, that cake, Simon, it was amazing. I'll have to show a picture of it. I'll send you some pics, Dan, for the group on the page.
Please do.
Amazing.
People do love seeing that on Instagram.
The cake
page
was literally incredible. That I've never seen a cake like it. And it was literally, this big. It was enormous. I should think they'll be still eating it up this time next year. But it was this fantastic cake that they'd had made with a TARDIS on the top as well. It was just incredible.
With a working light as well.
Working light on top of the TARDIS.
So they really went to town, but they still managed to capture that spirit of, say, three or four dozen people sat in the back room of a library or of a leisure centre, camped out and talking about good old Doctor Who.
Yes, and
what was the programme? There was a programme of events as well, wasn't there? There was a specially put together programme of events.
Yes.
What were the highlights of that? Did you think, Sarah?
Well, I was just coming to that because another beauty of this, it being such a long-running fan group is that you had, people who work in the field now. I mean, Paul Cornell was there, and he had been there from, was he a teen, Simon, or 20s? And obviously he used to go to these meetings, and now, obviously he's written for Doctor Who, he works for Big Finish, he's done novels. Ian was there from Big Finish as well, but I'm blanking on his name. But yeah,
Ian Farrington.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. So he was there as well. And Paul Cornell was the guest of honour. So he did a little...
Paul Cornell, of course, he's another one who's involved in your Gateway series, isn't he, Sarah? In series one of Doctor Who, he was there at the start. So that must have been a great boon for you.
Yeah, I was cooler than I was with Russell T. Davies.
But you had your photo. You did have your photo taken with Paul, didn't you?
I did.
And the thing, the highlight of the evening for me was when Sarah, bless her, won the raffle.
You won the raffle.
She got the first prize out of the bag from the raffle. Yeah. The first prize out of the bag from the raffle was a book donated by Paul Cornell. So it just all fits into place.
What was the book, Sarah? What did you win?
It was a compilation of comic book stories for Doctor Who magazine. Mm. And it hasn't been released yet, but Paul had an extra copy, so he donated it. And the raffle all went to the group. So obviously, I'd been invited. I felt like I'd got to do my part. So we,
because they raise money for charity as well, don't they, the Hoovers?
They do, yeah. So they'd also, they got the raffle, and then they'd got like a little shop with Big Finish stuff and audios and soundtracks and all artwork. Oh, there was all sorts. There weren't enough time.
No, the evening did go very, very quickly. And even now, I think we didn't leave till about 10:45. So we went over the time that we should have gone over there.
Yeah.
What was his, what was sort of conversation was it from Paul Cornell?
Doing actually, which were with Paul, was a Desert Island Docks. That's actually a feature that we used to do back in the mid 80s at the Hoonatics meetings. And Gary very kindly sort of tipped the hat and acknowledged that they sort of had the idea from us, which was great. Yeah. They're still running with that idea. And so he chose his favourite Doctor Who stories. It was five Doctor Who stories that he had to choose. And it was an interesting choice, actually. Wouldn't necessarily be the choice that you would automatically jump to.
Father's Day.
Chose The Mind Robber. He chose, which I have to be honest, I wouldn't have imagined would be on anybody's favourite list, but all credit to him. He chose Listen, the Peter Potter story. City of Death, which is obviously, you know, absolute fan favourite. What else did he choose, Sarah? What were the other two? Can you remember?
The Two Doctors.
The Two Doctors he chose as his Duffer, actually. He chose that as the absolute, you know, nadir of Doctor Who stories, which, again, wouldn't be my bottom choice of a story. I have to be honest.
Weird one to
The other one was Kinder.
Kinder, which was a very off the wall choice, but I would totally resonates with me because I think Kinder is one of the most undervalued stories of all time. It would be in certainly my top 10. So it was just it was just a really nice chat that Paul had about his favourite stories and why he liked them.
And of course, Paul, back in the 80s. I think it probably been the early 80s because he's older than we are, isn't he, Simon? He's older than the pair of us. He was involved in fandom too, wasn't he? And he wrote for fanzines.
I think in all honesty, he's possibly around about the same age as me now. I have a feeling. I actually first met Paul right back in the mid 80s, in 85, in fact, when he was organising the Fan Aid convention in Bath, which was one of the first sort of charity conventions, if not the first charity Doctor Who convention.
So that was the same year as Live Aid as well.
And those were brilliant events. And that was his first. That was the first time I ever knew of Paul. That was his first work on the fandom scene, as it were. And so it was nice for me. That's the first time I've met Paul, literally since those heady days in the mid 80s. So he's always been, you know, he's been involved with fandom a long time.
He's certainly a name that I've always seen around. You know, I remember seeing his name in magazines, in fanzines, in the letters column in DWB and things like that. So, I can see why a fan event would land on somebody like him, having seen it from all sides, really. So, it's fascinating stuff. What was the rest of it about? Was it members sharing their stories in the way that we just have about the old days of the Hoovers?
They had a chat, didn't they, Sarah? Yeah. They had sort of got all of the organisers up and just sort of had a general chat about their memories of...
And their plans for the future, I suppose, because they continue to be heavily involved with events there, with Hooverville. It has become one of the events of the Doctor Who fan calendar in the UK, and with Running Big Finish there. I know Gary's very proud of
that. Well, absolutely. And also, talking of plans for the future, one of the things that they announced on Friday night that we were sworn to secrecy at the time, but we are now able to talk about because they've now posted it up, is that the big guest at the next Hoover event, which will be Big Finish Day next summer, the big guest there is Paul McGann. They don't come much bigger than Paul McGann.
That is great news. Gary had been messaging me, telling me that I wouldn't want to miss this announcement. You could see he was itching to tell me, after I said I couldn't make it. He was sending me personal messages on the night. I think he really wanted to tell me, but he didn't. He held his tongue. Nice one, Gary.
So, yeah, we've all got to, the three of us and Gary, we've all got to try and get...
That's the plan, and I'll be much more organised for that, and it'll all be doable for me, I am sure, logistically. I'm looking forward to it. It's always great to be invited to these things. Yeah. It really is. And, yeah, happy birthday, happy 20th anniversary to the Hoovers. As well as Merry Christmas. It looks like you both had a fantastic time. We'll show the picture on Instagram and people can see the two of you in the wild.
It was interesting. We did have a brilliant time and it just got me really itchy that I just really would love to get back into organising regular events like that. And you know, I'm never going to say never. One of these days I might actually just get around to starting to organise some.
The itch is needing a scratch, does it?
Absolutely. It definitely got me mulling again and brooding that we need to be doing more of this.
Well, look, it's time for a quick break, everybody. It's a pause to tell you all about all the other conversations that are taking place across the whole of pop culture, every fandom you can imagine on the Fandom Podcast Network, all those other wonderful shows. So here's another FPN Elf to tell you about all of that. And you can meet Sarah, Simon and myself back here for some more Doctor Who chatter in a moment.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Something for everybody in so many great shows. There's even merch to match. How could I forget the Tee Public store? You can visit Tee Public, search for the Fandom Podcast Network storefront, and you'll find all the logos for all the shows on t-shirts, hats, mugs, tapestries. You get the picture. Exclusive geek chic at great prices, and it all goes to support the Fandom Podcast Network into the bargain, so everybody wins. You can't say much fairer than that. Guys, when we next get together, Doctor Who will be back on TV. We've had a second trailer that's dropped a little while ago, and the whole sort of promotional tour is in swing, if not full swing, certainly in swing. Some are very excited. Others are just hopeful. You're coming back on to talk about some of what's to come, certainly. But I was just wondering now, because we're a couple of weeks on from when we last spoke about it, what's your present excitement levels at? Do you feel like it's Christmas Eve and it's all anticipation and magic is in the air? Or is it all a bit Boxing Day and you're looking over and you just see a big pile of washing up that needs doing? What's going on?
My current enthusiasm levels are it's the morning after New Year's Day. New Year's Eve, and I'm hungover and feel like poop.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, I think my excitement levels are somewhere down in the basement, somewhere I just can't quite get down low enough. Sorry,
second trailer wasn't quite so dynamic, was it?
Well, no, and the thing is, I don't know whether you've have you seen the clip that has been released as well? This new minute long clip with Lenny Henry in.
I haven't.
Okay,
which I will have by the time this show's gone out. I've seen a couple of
it. I wouldn't worry about rushing to check it out. I watched it this morning, and my thought, to be honest, I was aghast actually, because I just kind of thought, is that it? Is that the best minute to put up as a clip to promote this forthcoming episode? It couldn't be more uninteresting if it tried. It's just an absolute regular run of the mill. Clip.
Oh, quite a random clip, not particularly plot heavy.
No, well, I don't know, Dan. Look, let's be honest, it didn't set my world on fire.
The thumbnail they've put up with it features Sir Lenny Henry quite strongly, so I wondered if it was like a big benchmark moment for him or the introduction.
I think you're right. I think that absolutely is the case, and I have to be honest, although I was sceptical about Lenny Henry, he acts really well in it. So I think you're right, they're absolutely trying to push... Lenny Henry is the name, but this is where I kind of think, is that really the best clip from the whole episode with Lenny Henry in it? It just doesn't reach out and grab you and say, wow, watch this episode because it will change your life. Look, I'm being generous here. Maybe they're holding it all back. Maybe they don't want to let it too much out. And so they're just drip feeding a fairly uninspiring clip, because actually when the episode comes out on New Year's Day, it will blow us all away because we've almost been wrong footed with our expectations of it. I don't know. Maybe they're doing a double bluff.
So we know the episode's called Spyfall. A bit of a painful pun, but a pun nonetheless. Doctor Who's not episode title puns. We have had them before, but never quite so broad as that. The Shakespeare Code wasn't quite so on the nose. Yeah, so it's called Spyfall. We've got part one on New Year's Day with part two to come the following Sunday. They've gone for Sunday after all, which did surprise me, I have to say. I'm not convinced. What, Sarah, we've been moaning about Sundays now for a year and a half. You must be disappointed at this choice. I wish I could say something positive. I know you're going to be disappointed.
I was. It was really funny, actually, because when I was talking to Simon on Friday, he didn't know. So I had to break it to him. And
Yeah, my heart sank because I was convinced. I thought it was Saturday. I just didn't realise it had been rejigged to Sunday. I was gutted.
It's the only thing that the Daily Mirror have got wrong in their Doctor Who rumours over the last 2 years in reporting what they get from their insiders. Everything else has been right. But I won't go through it all again, I think, because I've bigged up the Mirror for this time and time again. Yeah, they finally got one wrong because they were convinced it was moving back to Saturdays. I think there are people who are trying to look at the silver lining to that cloud, but it is a big cloud. I'm still say it works for nobody. Children, parents, fans, the general audience, it doesn't really work for anybody. I think it works for Chris Chibnall. I think it's obviously the night of the week that it's on, generally less competition.
It's funny because if you sort of go back to, say, the Peter Davison days, when obviously then it was out on a weekday, on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, varying on season. And in a way, whilst I still think that was a mistake, you could kind of see what they were trying to do with that. They were trying to pitch it as more of a kind of a serious drama rather than a throwaway disposable family show. So you could kind of see what they're doing with that, however much mistaken they were with it. But with a Sunday night, it's just like, you kind of think of Sunday night in a way as kind of, if it's anything, it's that kind of more of a classical Jane Eyre kind of slot. I don't know. What is Sunday night? What is the Sunday night slot?
And so that's detective dramas. Odd. I think generally pretty sedate drama.
Sedate drama. That's the best example. That's best description, Dan.
Cozy telly like Doc Martin. At the most challenging stuff that you get on a Sunday now is something like Poldark, which sets certain hearts racing, which I do understand that. But generally, yeah, I think it's programmes like Vera, where you've got a detective story going on, but people are more concentrating on the location work and how pretty it all looks. You know, Broadchurch, there was something about that with Broadchurch. I know that was on a Monday, but it had a similar kind of appeal. Dramas that thrive on a Sunday tend to be like that. That's been in place since the days of All Creatures Great and Small and Heartbeat in the 80s and the 90s. They're strange bedfellows for Doctor Who to sit down with in this newest era.
All I do know is the amount of the publicity machine has gone into absolute overdrive in the last couple of weeks for Doctor Who. I can't remember what the publicity was like for Jodie Whittaker's first series, but boy, it's just endless publicity at the moment. And it's difficult to tell whether they're doing that because they genuinely believe in the show and they want to push what is one of their absolute prime brands, or whether they, to be honest, at the moment, I feel a little bit like I'm being bludgeoned into believing that this is going to be the best series ever, almost without them saying it. It's like they're almost saying, forget whether you liked or didn't like the last series. This one, you're going to absolutely love. There are so many interviews from Chris Chibnall, from Jodie Whittaker, from various people constantly banging on about how it's just the most incredible, amazing, brilliant, breathtaking, fantastic, exciting, amazing, marvellous series that you'll ever see. That I do feel a little bit like I'm being told, you will like this, guaranteed, you will like this. So my character is automatically just backing away from it because I don't like to be told constantly, this is the best series you will ever see on television. So I'm automatically distancing myself.
You will like it. I think at the, you know, being trying to be generous about it. It is just good old-fashioned hype. They're not doing anything that a lot of other shows and movies, but yeah, other TV shows don't do, and they are on the circuit, and they're not going to come and say, well, you know, it's a bit Marmite, you might like it, you might not, but that's when it's on, take it or leave it. I don't expect them to do that, but there is a level of hyperbole with Doctor Who, which I think has become traditional, which, you know, it doesn't turn me off to the same extent that it does you, Simon. I have developed a bit of a resistance to it. I used to love it. It used to be part of the fun for me, but I have had a resistance to it, and that goes back probably about 4 or 5 years now. I won't blame it on the current era. I think it could be, I won't even say complacency on my part. I just think it's the fact that Doctor Who has been back for a long time, and we all know the dance by now. We know she's going to be on Graham Norton. We know who's going to be on the radio. We know what magazine articles to expect. We know that Radio Times will be blowing as much smoke as they possibly can. But yeah, it doesn't really affect me either one way or the other. Somehow I have noticed a big change in the official YouTube content that's being put out from the BBC. They're managing it very differently. This is the first year that Crystal D hasn't been there. I think a guy called Luke Spillane, who was on there before, I think he's still there, but I think it's in a much reduced capacity. And I understand that Chris Chibnall has got a lot more control over the YouTube situation now too. And the videos that are getting put out, they are, just as you described, Simon, that sort of first look. I think they've called it a peek with that Lenny Henry clip. There have been another couple of clips like that in the week, and a Talking Heads, 2 or 3 minutes with the central cast, whereby they say kind of what you were just saying, Simon, how this is the best thing that your eyeballs will have ever, ever seen. You build up people's expectations. You know, people of our age, even somebody, you know, of your age, Sarah, you're younger than we are, but you've heard it all before too, haven't you? So there's only so far they can push your buttons.
It's that kind of like once bitten, twice shy. We heard all this, you know, last year. You know, this series was going to be the bestest series ever, you know. Shoot.
It's going to take the best bits of that, and give you this amazing.
And I know, at the time, it kind of worked.
We had no reason not to believe them, had we? That's the thing.
And the way that Jodie was working the crowds at the comic cons and things, you know, it looked good. It looked different, but from what I've seen, it just looks like more of the same. But
that's exactly what worries me, Sarah. It just looks like more of the same. I'm trying not to be negative here, and certainly not a deliberate thing. But you've hit the nail on the head. It looks more of the same. So whilst I'm still prepared to give it a fair crack, I'm not necessarily buying all this hyperbole about it is the best series ever, because it does look more of the same.
I was less impressed by that. By that second trailer. I mean, don't get me wrong, the first trailer wasn't anything that special, but at least it had, as we were discussing with Glenn Jakeman when we had him on recently, at least it had a certain dynamic quality.
It's Christmas. You've been at the Christmas punch, haven't you?
Who's going to... The Baileys is going down. It had that quality about it, which did make you sit up and pay attention, that they had reconnected with something that they knew that people liked, and a recipe of at least getting your attention and drawing the eye and saying there might be something here to see after all. But we're only two trailers in, and things are starting to sort of strike very familiar beats. And we shall see come New Year's Day and Spyfall Part 1. That's the sort of like the ghosts of specials future. Let's talk about the ghosts of Christmas specials past, or Doctor Who Christmases past, for a moment. What's your cosiest or just more sparkling Christmas Doctor Who memory, Sarah, off the top of your head? Can you think of one?
Oh, probably the first one, all the way back to the Christmas Invasion, because that was, it was so exciting. You know, we just had that amazing first series with that surprise. Well, I suppose it wasn't a surprise regeneration.
But it was for you, because you'd never seen a regeneration before.
So I was dying to see this new doctor and what was going to happen with Rose, and
if you're even still going to like this show.
Yeah. And it didn't anything about when Doctor Who did Tirith. I mean, we've spoken about it before, but you know, you don't even actually see him as the Doctor till like the last sort of 20 minutes. And it's everybody else who carries that story forward. And everybody is on top form there. I know, you know, people were a bit divided about Jackie and Mickey until they kind of grew into the roles. But yeah, the acting the way through all this, and they're brilliant. And obviously, you know, we had Penelope Wilton back, and it was wonderful.
Something very special about that hour of television, wasn't there? I think it very few things. It can't be all things to all people, but yeah, those Christmas specials, they were broad hits, very, very populist episodes, and you couldn't help but sort of fall under their spell, really. Simon, we never had Christmas specials when we were growing up. Doctor Who Christmas specials. We're not bitter about it, are we?
No, not in the slightest.
So with that in mind, special,
we were really lucky. I've still got very, very, very happy memories of seeing the Robots of Death repeated across two nights over New Year it probably would have been about 1978, I think. And that was just the most exciting thing to get. My most exciting Christmas memory, I have to be honest, is Canine and Company. And I absolutely adore Canine and Company. Won't have a word said against it. Watch it every Christmas. I love it.
You watch it again. Every Christmas?
Say again?
You watch it every Christmas.
Oh, that's gosh, cool. Yeah, don't you?
No, I don't. I watch it every three or four years, though. Yeah.
No, I always watch Kane and Company. It has very happy memories. You know, I can still remember it going out in Christmas 1981. And let's not forget, that was the first time ever that there had been any form of Doctor Who Christmas special, in inverted commas. That was it. And it was the first Doctor Who spin-off ever. So to suddenly get this out of the blue, a one-hour in a kind of Christmas special, was just fantastic. And it's just still so nostalgic to me. And Liz Slade, and bless her, is just so incredible in it, and adorable and beautiful and brilliant. And it's just so damned Christmassy. You know, for goodness sakes, Canine singing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" at the end, it just can't get any better. And so for me, it will always be Canine and Company. As cheesy and as awful and as rubbish as it may be, I love it to bits.
I think when I look back now, I mean, now that my children have grown up and they're not of the age now where they get so excited about television, and Christmas has changed completely, that whole time, obviously for Canine and Company, I love that too. And I watched the repeat, they repeated it a couple of years later, but it's the new Who era. And the Christmas Invasion to a certain degree, but with me, it's the Runaway Bride that is the one, because that was the first one. My children were staying with their mother when the Christmas Invasion was on, so I didn't get to watch that with them. So the first one they got to watch with me on Christmas Day, it was the Runaway Bride. That one also, that was better, because that was so much better than I was expecting it to be, because I didn't watch the Catherine Tate show, you see, and I saw her turn around in that wedding dress a few months earlier on, and I wouldn't say that I was dreading it, because this was a comedy performer, and the last time we'd had somebody that high profile take that prominent a role in it had been Bonnie Langford, which had been, you know, divisive at best and all the rest of it. And there was a lot of, I won't say hate towards Catherine Tate, but there was a lot of sort of, what is she doing in our show, coming out from Doctor Who fans. And so to watch that and to find that I liked her, that I enjoyed it, I enjoyed her character, I'm so swept away in it, and how much my kids enjoyed it. Obviously, that was a huge amount too, and all the dialogue. And I think the first mention of Gallifrey's in that story in the new series too. So it delivered in so many ways for me. And that chase down the motorway. God, I've got to talk about The Runaway Bride for so long. Great little story. It's one of those, the more you think about it, I could go off and watch it again now.
Yeah. I will do. I'm currently doing my rewatch. I watched them all apart from Twice Upon a Time. I'll mention that one.
Well, look, it's a New Year's Day special again this year, as we mentioned earlier on, and I'm not quite giving up on there ever being a Doctor Who Christmas special ever again, like during the big 3 days at some point in the future. Who knows, maybe. It's looking increasingly likely that a special for next year has been shot, as we've been speculating, possibly featuring the Daleks. Who knows? Our Series 12 coverage, well, that's coming. Now we've got confirmation of when the BBC are going to be premiering new episodes of Doctor Who itself. As we've just said, we can work out where we're going to get our thoughts and our reviews and our conversations into your ears. So all you have to do is look out and listen for that wherever you found this. It could have been on Apple Podcasts. Please search for the Fandom Podcast Network there on Apple Podcasts. And instead of a Christmas card, you could always drop us a review, a five-star review, so new listeners can find us just that little bit easier, please. Go on, it's Christmas after all. Maybe you found us on the Podbean app, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. We're really easy to find there, and it's also easy to use. You can search for the Fandom Podcast Network, and all our shows across the network just sort of drop down. It's magical to behold. Contact any of us directly if you wish. Email at type40doctorwho@gmail.com, Twitter and Instagram, at Type40Doctor Who, our Facebook page, that Facebook group with 1,000 members, all that extra dimensional chit chat. Simon, that contact again for you, where can people find you?
They can find me on Facebook under the Whonatics, Whonatics. Come and say hello.
You gotta go. Have you got a very special Christmas message to all our companions out there? What would you like to say?
What I'd like to say is just have an absolutely amazing Christmas, and let's all look forward to the new series on New Year's Day, and let's hope it delivers a late Christmas present for us.
That's it, and unites the fandom. And Sarah, yeah, never mind Christmas Day. You're our queen all year round, of course, aren't you? So let's have your speech now, not on Christmas Day.
My speech, my queen's speech. it's been a hard year to be a Doctor Who fan or a Whovian, you know, having this, I know we shouldn't complain. I mean, you boys did it for 16 years, so. But yeah, it has been. We need some Christmas cheer. We need something to look forward to. So yeah, I'll be watching on New Year's Day with the kids. So hopefully, I mean, my way of thinking is maybe it's just not for me anymore. But if the kids enjoy it, then, you know, it's still living on.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so yeah, Merry Christmas and a Happy Who Year.
Way!
There you go. And you're going to come back here and you're going to talk about it with your mates. That's going to be, that's something to enjoy after all. Oh, drop us that tweet. Where can people tweet you again?
Oh, you can find me at Starry-Eyed Girl on Twitter.
There you go. Yeah, just to remind you. Merry Christmas to all of you at home from me. And thanks for listening throughout 2019. All our very best for the new year too. We'll speak to you soon here on the Fandom Podcast Network with another episode of Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we always have the time if you have the space. Merry Christmas.